Dale Fowler joining me on the other end of the line this morning. Morning, Dale. How are you, pal?
I'm doing well, Tom. Thanks. I got a little bit of a cold going on this morning. I'm going to call it a summer cold, but because it seems like that's where we're at already. But no, all good. I'm traveling around the district this morning.
That's why I wouldn't let Dale in the studio this morning. He had a cold, so. a couple of just housekeeping here before I get to the main subject this morning. What's the story on In Session and the State of the Budget Address? That's Wednesday at noon.
The budget address will be Wednesday, Tom. I'll go back to Springfield probably Tuesday night. We'll be meeting early Wednesday morning before the address. So, this will be my first in-house, so to speak, budget address as a freshman senator. So I'm looking forward to it, and we got a lot of work to do.
I almost wonder what the budget address consists of when there's no budget. You know what I mean? I mean, right. I was thinking about that, and it's so easy to be, just pop off about a phrase like that. But the fact is, in a real practical instance, we don't have a budget. We have court orders.
That's right. And Tom, I think I would anticipate the address is going to be pertaining to, this is just my assumption of where we need to go with this budget. I think we all know that, we have to get this budget balanced, and we have to get our education taken care of and get our kids and our schools taken care of and go from there. So that's kind of what I anticipate, but this is just me being me. As I mentioned, this is my first time, so I'm looking forward to what he has to say.
And this week, the courts, we talked about how they handle the budget, and an important issue, the court this week takes up Lisa Madigan, Attorney General's call to stop state employees' pay.
That's right. Hopefully that's, we just can't let that happen, Tom. We've got to get our house in order. I'm optimistic that we will. It looks like if this was for to occur, it'd be sometime probably around April, probably. Hopefully we'll have everything in order so that doesn't transpire, because our state employees are under enough stress as it is, and we just can't. We can't allow this to go on, but we'll see how it all unfolds.
I mean, when you think about it, the state employees now, I was talking to some people who work in the Springfield building, work for Springfield in Springfield, so to speak, and they were talking about how the health clinic that they go to, it's called the Springfield Clinic, says from now on, if you're a state employee, pay up. You're not getting it. We're not extending credit anymore. We're not getting paid. We're not going to be able to keep our head above water. And you tell somebody that's got a health problem, they can't use their insurance because nobody pays the bill and they don't get paid, so they can't compensate. When you realize that there's quite a few things going on here that are going to intersect at some point. Now, Dale Fowler is joining us, Illinois Senator, today. Dale, this new piece of legislation, Blue Lives Matter. The way I read this is it's not just police. It's police, ambulance.
Yes, that's right. Tom, in today's dangerous world, our public safety professionals have been placed in a more extreme environment, where they themselves have been made the targets of senseless aggression. I made a pledge during my campaign that our Illinois police, correctional officers, firefighters, emergency medical service personnel, that this would be introduced. All this does is adds these professionals to the current hate crime statutes that we currently have in place. So, under today's environment, all people matter, and this is this is a pledge that I've made. And Tom, growing up, I'm just going to throw this in there because you and I aren't that far apart in age, I don't believe. We've known each other a long time. When we were growing up, we'd go to school, and our teachers in grade school would ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Right.
What were the most popular statements that were made, professions that were made?
Doctors, lawyers, police officers, firemen.
Yes, sir. That's right. And I think, obviously, that's probably not the case today. So I think we need to, take a proactive stance to ensure that, their safety is of most importance. They're the ones that put themselves on the line each and every day to protect the citizens of this great state. And I just feel like that's the proper thing to do. I've had numerous conversations with correctional officers, police officers, firefighters, the medical management personnel. And, you know, we want our generations to be protected, and we want them to have the assurance and the confidence that they can go into these professions and we're going to take care of.
I remember the first time I had a fireman say, we really don't go into that part of town if we can help it. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'd never heard a fireman say that before. Because we're not welcome. That was the term he used, because we're not welcome, and we're told we're not welcome. And, we're hesitant to go there even on ambulance calls, but we have to go. But, I mean, it's something – I mean, Dale, I've noticed a tendency now here in the United States, pick a side and fight the other side to the tooth and nail. I wonder if this is not one area where we can't at least agree to a certain extent to come together. I mean, seriously, who else are you going to call when your house is broken into? Who do you call, when you're in trouble on the side of the road? Who gets there first? It's the police. I don't know, man. This is one of these touchy areas moving forward. But I did find one thing interesting in particular about while you were literally talking about Blue Lives Matter, Donald Trump, not a lot of attention on this. In Washington, signed an executive order creating a camp, I think it was Department of Justice, I'm not positive on that, to go out and find existing laws that would help protect law enforcement and implementing what they can out of existing law to deal with this issue. And it looks like that's what you've done here.
That's exactly right, Tom. And this has been on my radar, as I mentioned, for many, many months, probably about a year and a half when I first became interested in running for this state Senate position. And, our emergency response personnel, we have to give them the confidence. And then for future generations growing up, as I mentioned, that they can go into this environment and know that they're going to be protected, that they're going to have laws protecting them. And that's what's important, and it goes beyond that. I mean, some of the, as I mentioned about, our teachers asking us what we want to be when we grew up in grade school, and you're exactly right. It was firemen, police officers, response teams, teachers. That was it. And all of a sudden, you look at these professions. It's like, wow. These kids want to grow up being a fireman or a police officer or even a teacher in today's world, because there's going to be a shortage because they don't have the confidence to pursue that field, and that has to change.
Dale, just off the top of my head, were prison guards included in this?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah, correct. Yes, sir.
I did want to check on that. All right, so because when I read the press release, it was like these groups are being contained in the hate crimes class, I think, that was police officers, all kinds of law enforcement, ambulance, firefighters, prison guards, anybody else?
Yes, all your emergency response services personnel,
firemen,
and correctional employees, not just correctional officers, but correctional employees as well.
Right, because a really young friend of mine from Harrisburg who was a counselor, I said she wasn't a prison employee, but, she was out with them quite a bit. You remember Debbie Krolik?
Sure.
Debbie Milligan, yes. Who had been a friend of yours and mine for a long time. That's how I learned that people are – I always thought it was just prison guards in there. And I had – the day she told me what she did, I was like, really? Didn't know. All right, so here's the thing. There's about three or four things bubbling out there, naming October Zombie Apocalypse Awareness Month. you got the change on the seal. I mean, you've got these little frivolous things that pop up, and people are going, what? It kind of undermines the credibility, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That's right. That's exactly right, Tom. This is not what we need to be focusing on. It's oh my goodness, we have to stay, and that's what I'm saying. And I know I'm just one of 59 state senators, Tom. We all know that. But my total focus is on the balanced budget and education. And then I've always said, then we'll go from there. It's where it starts. It's where it has to start. And I don't know what to tell you about these other, it is what it is. But that's not. I'm not putting a lot of emphasis on it because it's not my It's not on my target. It's about lobbying for a balanced budget and take care of our kids and our schools and you mentioned about the hawk, the professional, the doctors and the hospitals and
right.
Is this going to be on the backs of the state employees? I'm actually on my way to a meeting right now with Southern Illinois Healthcare, and they have pledged to me as of today anyway. I may know more after I get there, but they've pledged that they are going to continue to offer the services to state employees. Kudos to them. The state of Illinois, Tom, owes them billions of dollars.
Yes,
but they're doing everything they possibly can to continue the services for the state. State employees.
And that's a big deal because you have to realize like people like the Springfield Clinic and that, I mean, a high statistical percentage of their clientele, when I was talking to this person, says if this doesn't get people moving on the budget, I don't know what is, because now anybody in Springfield who's a government employee goes there, which everybody does, got to pay up. Speaking of pay up, there's another piece of legislation out there. State rep wants to say, look, every time I'm given money by a private source in between 50 and I think 250 bucks maybe, that I should get six times that from the state for campaign funds. Because we've got to have some way of counteracting wealthy people. And by taking six, for every dollar, six times that from the state of Illinois' taxpayers when we broke, from people who don't do their jobs, left me PO'd. I don't know another way to put it besides using an acronym, Dale.
Right. Tom, I haven't even really been briefed on that legislation or a whole lot. It's another one that I'm just not paying a whole lot of attention to right now because that's just not on my priority list. I'm not sure what that's all about. I don't really get it. We have a job to do. We shouldn't be worrying about, it's not about us. It's about the state of Illinois. It's about the citizens in my 59th district. That's my total focus, and that's where it's going to stay until we get this balanced budget.
You have noticed that, quite frankly, they're lining up to run for governor on the Democratic side of the aisle.
That's right.
Really loading up there as well. So this week, it's State of the Budget Address. We have seen, of course, a lot of the moving parts here, like the proposed sugary beverage tax taken out. We see a lot of proposed incomes, and we've seen a couple of pieces of that legislation pass the Senate. I think four were presented, three were passed. So I guess you'll be seeing those three pieces in the House maybe this week.
Very possibly so, Tom. Again, I voted no on those because it could put a burden on our citizens, our taxpayers, because there was nothing about balanced budget. There was nothing about cuts in these bills. So it could put an additional strain on our citizens and our taxpayers, and that's not where we're at. We have to, as you all know, these are tied together, and we're going to hold our ground. That my priority list again. Balanced budget and education, then we'll go from there.
Senator Dale Fowler. Hey, Dale, I really do appreciate your time this morning and good luck this week. We will, by the way, be carrying the State of the Budget Address Wednesday at noon here on 1340 and on 1020. We'll continue to carry our regular format there so you have your choices, and I'm more than just a little bit curious. A lot of people say that the State of the Budget Address is always more important than the State of the State Address, and I think under current situation, I think it's really not debatable. I think we can all agree with State of the Budget and what can be done, unless, of course, it's just, putting more pressure, saying, legislature, go do this. And, of course, they're trying to do it, too. But, boy, it looks like there's some animosity growing between Redonio and Rauner with some of the press releases gone out, too. In any event, something we'll all be watching. Dale, really do, once again, appreciate your time today, pal.